communion together. On that note, as you're giving your cups back, I just wanted to share real quickly about something that has been, that I feel like God's put on my heart and then also confirmed through different chats that the leadership team of this church have had and the direction that we kind of want to go as a church community. I'm a big fan of community, and so is God, and so are a lot of you as well, because we're not meant to go about our week alone. And so something that has been on my heart recently is that one of those things we want to do as Marion Vineyard is connect during the week, and to keep being family beyond Sundays as well. I'm excited to find some new ways to support this and some new ways to do it moving forward. And so I've been reflecting back on, I've been at Marion Vineyard my entire life, so my whole 25 years. And so I've seen the church go through many different seasons of demographic and different seasons of groups that meet throughout the week. I was thinking about, because Millie and I have just moved out and we have our own space, and so I was thinking about all the different homes I've been in over the years throughout Marion Vineyard's history. And, you know, even when I was a little tacker and it was my bedtime when it was home group time, so I would, you know, get put on various mattresses or different people's bedrooms and hear the community that was going on in the living room for home group time. I also think of back when I was also a child, there was Monday mums that used to meet with a group of mums and their young kids, and that was a community that came out of Marion Vineyard for a time. Yeah, and it's grown and changed. There's been different groups depending on, you know, where, what season we're in. For those who don't know, the kind of groups that are meeting at the moment, we've got a pretty substantial and growing young adults group that's been meeting on fortnightly Wednesdays at Toa Maria's house. We've coined that as food for thought. So we have a dinner and have some chats. And so that's growing and overflowing at the moment. We also have a youth group on fortnightly Fridays for those in high school. A group of us young adults lead that. That happens up in a room over there on Fridays, but that's happening. We've also got our open worship gathering that happened on every other Friday. Recently there was a life group that met to go through some discipleship training not too long ago as well. So those are the kind of things that are happening. But what I'd love to see, and I think, I don't know, it feels confirmed in my passion for this at the moment, is I'd love to see more life groups pop up or more things throughout the week, not all looking the same as each other or even like previous groups that Marion Vineyard have put on, but open to sort of innovative ideas or groups that intentionally meet to support and learn from the Bible together, with Jesus at the centre throughout the week, and a place that we can also invite new people to as well. In a way, I'd like to encourage you to consider where you're at the moment and whether, you know, hosting a life group is something that you, or maybe preferably a group of people, might be able to do. This is something that I'm feeling maybe led to do really soon as well. So I'm just talking to myself here. to particularly think about what kind of needs you might be aware of or who you might be able to invite or reach out to. And I'm calling it a life group here, but intentional and consistent community building doesn't have to or need to be like a structural program either. Those are good and beneficial, but this is also something that we all can look out for opportunities to do week for week. And I'm sure, and I know, lots of you are doing that already. It's just about being purposeful about it. I mean, I know that people are doing it already because I've been at Ruth's house for dinner, or we've had Simone over for dinner, or sometimes we go out to the Seacliff Hotel at various intervals throughout the month. But I'm looking for things that I'm looking forward to things that might pop up from within our church family, not because you have to or because leadership's telling you to, but because I know that we want to foster community and belonging and connection throughout the week. And Hebrews 10:24 gives us this encouragement. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of Jesus' return drawing near. So do really consider and pray about what kind of groups or things could happen throughout the week that will allow you to stir each other up that we can love well and keep meeting together. And so I and the leadership team want to hear from you what you'd actually like and need out of a life group or out of a... What needs are there? What would you like and what do you see? And what kind of support you might need for that as well. I think God's doing something in this space, and so just an encouragement. So let's catch it and run with it if that's something that's also in your heart. Sure. Yeah, I will pray. Lord, thank you for community. Thank you for the, just how you've led Marion Vineyard over the years. Thank you for the community that we have here now in this season and the circles that we have to reach out to. Lord, I just pray that, where there might be inklings of this in our hearts, Lord, that you'd stir up that passion for community throughout the week, support for one another, that we can see that grow and flourish in new and exciting ways. But we invite your Spirit to come and speak and to lead us in that direction. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome.
That was very good. Thanks so much, Holly. That was great. Awesome. And, it's in community that we discover who we are because we get to confirm and affirm one another and grow, and we get to use our gifts. Getting together now during the week as often as we can is fantastic. And Tom and I love to come alongside you to encourage you to be all that you can be in your gifting. And as we do that, we want to just especially pause in this space to ask Josh and Angus if you might come up. We journey with these guys as we do with others, and we're just with their gifting and where they're at, we're wanting to provide opportunity for them to grow all the more. And so because of that, come and stand next to your brother here, Joshua. We know you want to. to affirm them and to continue to stir up the gifting in them and to come alongside to encourage them in their growth in Jesus. And that's what we want for us all, don't we? That we all grow deeper in love with Jesus, that we grow deeper in our security and who we are, knowing who he is and who we are. So in that, we have asked Joshua and Angus, and they both agreed that Joshua is now entering into a phase of being the interim youth leader, and Angus to be moving into the interim overseer of worship here at Marion Vineyard. And what that means is they're entering into a time where they're saying yes, and we're working with them and wanting them to grow so that we get to a point in the future where we go, yes, this is it. We're handing that whole responsibility to you. Go with that, so that's great. And we want to see people keep growing. So we're doing this today so that those involved in those teams know that this is happening, but also for all of us that we would be praying for these guys in this time of growth, that they will have open hearts. Because they're going into deeper levels of servanthood with Jesus, and to know what that means for them, and also for protection. You know, as we want to grow more in Jesus, our real enemy does not like it. So let's be praying for protection over them, and so we just want to bless them now, and as a family that we stand with them in faith. So would you just extend your hand toward them? We just want to pray and release them into this next season of their journey with Jesus and with us. And so, Lord, we thank you for Angus, and we thank you for Josh. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you just come upon them both now, Lord God, and fill them afresh. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord, that we get to come to you just as we are, but your love doesn't want us to stay there. You want to keep taking us into deeper levels of knowing you, of being more of who you've created each of us to be. And so we do pray specifically for Angus and Josh today. Lord, in this season, would you draw their hearts closer to you? Would they just submit, Lord, even more to you, sacrifice, Lord, that they may, just know your voice and know your leading at this time. And may we as a family be your encouragement to them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
So Angus and Joshua, we've been unpacking about Joseph, David and Joshua's journey in the Old Testament. I just felt the Lord asked me to anoint you even though this is interim, because you know David was anointed before many, many years he became a king. He knew in the heart that God will bring it to purpose, and he was happy and at peace to go back to shepherding and waiting for the right time, but he was anointed. And then you have Joshua, which both of you discover he was nobody, no family background, don't know where he come from, but he apprenticed with Moses. He just hang out. Moses, he don't even know, but Joshua was being apprenticed by God through Moses. And when the time has come, Joshua stepped into a different kind of leadership from Moses, because different leaders are called for different season, and Joshua was a warrior. And then you have Joseph, who had the dreams that opened up his mouth and cocky too quickly. And then you have to go through a different process where he was stripped from everything, stuck in a prison that nobody except God knows he's there. So Father, we pray for Angus and Joshua in this process of becoming more of what you want them to be. But Lord, your plan, your purpose is already in their DNA. May they bring that into pass, not by their own strength, not by their own power, but by your Spirit. So we as a family here cheer them on and say, Angus, Joshua, go for it. Go for gold. Go for glory. For God's glory. In Jesus' name. All right. So we're going to have testimony time. I didn't line up anyone, so anyone can come up. But what we're going to do is, because I got a feeling we got a few coming up, everyone's going to rush out. But just a reminder, testimony is very powerful. In Hebrew, testimony is saying, Yahweh, you can do this again with a similar power or more power and same authority. So that's testimony. Testimony is also a witness. When you bear witness, you give testimony and say, yep, I witnessed this, that Jesus did this, all right? And we know in Acts 1:8, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. We wait on the power so that it's not our own. So testimony and witness is very powerful. Now, we do this as a family because, as Holly brought out, Hebrews 10:24, so we can cheer each other on, so that we can encourage each other, so that we can encourage as in giving courage, because the greatest testimony you can give and shout out for God is when you are out in the world, when you're sitting with a stranger, and when you have the prompting, and you're like, hey, you know, I don't know you, but I just want to tell you God's story in my life. That's the power of testimony. That's the witness. It's very good here, but it's greater there. John Wimber saying is, the meat is in the street. If you want a real stuff, get out there. Here is all meal. So, who wants to come first? Oh, Chris. Oh, Melanie. Okay, I see that hand first. Here you go, Chris. Now, I love your dancing. What makes you move when you worship?
It just comes naturally.
Naturally?
So it just
all right. My wife is a good dancer. I don't have that natural move yet. All right.
Yeah. I'll try to keep myself still as possible. Yeah, 2 minutes. Okay. This testimony is just one of... falls in line with what Holly was talking about. This was a natural a very natural experience, which was pointed out by a member of this congregation, was a testimony. So I'll just share very quickly what happened, and then you can put a verse to it. But basically, I knew that... I have this trouble with this. I used to be good at this, but I've dropped I knew that Richard worked in Unley, and I knew that I had an office in Unley, but we never sort of thought about it too much that would be that, you know, we would connect. But one particular day, Richard was walking out of his office, and he was going behind someone that he thought might look a bit like a stalking thing. So he said, he'll go the other way around the block. So he went the other way around the block, and I'd just come out of some sort of meeting with some staff to find out about some work. I go in there probably once every 30, 40 days, so don't go in there very often. So here I was coming out of the office and sitting out on the front of the wall facing the street, and just sitting there and thinking, okay, I've finished, I'm a little bit earlier than I normally am, so I'm just going to sit here and just see where I go from here. So I sat there, and then next minute Richard's walking along the street. I'm thinking, have we just come out of church? Or, you know, it just felt very surreal that he was there. And then he says to me, hello, yeah. And then we just talked as if we talked in church. It was really bizarre. I said, I've just finished this meeting and everything, and just pray for me about this. And he did. And he said, anything that you'd like prayer for? And we just had this very five-minute prayer session. And after that, I went home and I thought, okay, we could do this again sometime. So we did it again this week. So this time though... I found out it was only about two shops away from where my office is. So we're about 2 minutes away walking distance. So every time I go into Healthcare Australia, I will be looking out for Richard, because he's a great guy for me to connect with. So the answer is, if you don't get put a verse to that, what happened, go for it. But for me, that was a blessing on our relationship within the church, because we have various people we connect with, but yeah, that spread me out further into the church. So thank you, Lord.
That's good. All right, the next one, get ready. I can see many people coming up.
So I spoke a number of weeks ago now about finance, and I couldn't share this testimony at that point. It wasn't time. However, it is time. Many months ago, Richard and I were assessing our financial situation. We do so once a month. We reflect and look and see how God has blessed us and what else we can be doing in ministry with what God's given us. And probably almost 6 months ago now, we recognised just how much God has blessed us, and that actually I'm working here and being paid for it, and I really felt on my heart to reduce what the church is paying me. So I spoke to Richard about it, he prayed about it, and when we came back together we discussed by how much, and we came up with a number that we felt God was really pressing on our hearts. Now, we didn't share that at the time until only a month or so ago, when the budget was being put together, and I said, it's actually not a negotiable thing. I'm not asking whether it's okay, but telling the church I will reduce in what I receive. Now, we made that decision because we're in a position that actually we can give back, and we feel it's very important to give to Marion Vineyard, and so we made that decision. Over the last 2 years, meanwhile, Richard's work has been working on an enterprise agreement. It has gone to vote so many times that they ended up having to have some legal intervention just to get the thing signed off. People kept rejecting it. People are so greedy, I can't believe it. What was being offered? It went through the legal system, and it came back within the week of us putting through the new church budget that we have said, this is how much we're reducing by, God has doubled that in Richard's enterprise agreement. So Richard's now earning twice what we've given up. So I want to encourage you with that, because that didn't happen until we released it. We actually had to step in. So we agreed, yes, certainly, 6 months ago, but we didn't act on it, and God couldn't bless us, I don't think, until we actually could act on it. I think there's something really, really important about that step of faith, to actually verbalise it and say, here's the stake in the ground. And when we put that stake in the ground, God moved. And it's been really amazing. That's one. I've got two, but I'm not sharing the other one until the right time.
That's really good. We're going to... No, come forward. We're going to get a point form from Chris and all that, then we're going to pray together, all right? I'm trying to pull that in my
mind. This is one of, I guess, shouting from the rooftops about God is faithful in every storm, okay? This week, one thing I love about Facebook, this week it reminds you of the things that have happened. And this week it reminded me that 3 years ago I was in Westmead Private Hospital and had open heart surgery. I look really sickly now, don't I? But yes, it was to repair a congenital heart defect. And I want to say these are some of the... I listed the miracles, really, that... It's amazing and a miracle. I had gone nearly 60 years with blood vessels going into the wrong side of the heart or something, you know, and I had virtually no symptoms. So that was number one. God, I lasted all that time. And then God sent me to an amazing cardiologist in Cabramatta. Number one, he bulk billed. I get some really good favour with bulk billing, okay? This cardiologist in Cabramatta who bulk billed and who found the problem. He was a problem solver, and he was like, look, yep, he worked it out. So that was another miracle. He was going to send me to some guy in Liverpool, and he said, no, I'm not even going to see her. He sent me to a specialist cardiac surgeon who usually repaired heart defects in babies. But I saw her, and so I went to Westmead Private as a public patient. Another miracle, going to Westmead Private. Then probably one of the biggest ones, can't rate them, this was at the beginning of COVID, okay? And my contract with Navitas, where I was working, was up. It kind of gets renewed every 2 or 3 years, depending with the government contracts. So it was up for renewal. They knew I was waiting for hearts. I had 7 weeks sick leave saved up. Right at the time of having the heart surgery, my contract was renewed. If it hadn't been renewed, I would have lost 7 weeks of sick leave pay, which meant I went for like 2.5 months fully paid. Okay, that was like, whoa, beginning of COVID, they knew I was up for surgery and they renewed it. God, yeah, you are faithful in every storm. Yeah. And then I had a lovely girl called Amanda, who some of the young adults have met, come and live with me at home. Now, even though she couldn't drive and she's of nursing, of teaching background like me, and sort of goes, nursing, I loved her company. And that was a real provision of God, to be stuck during COVID in a little two-bedroom place with company when I was recovering. So that was good. But there were some big downs. My recovery was not straightforward, and I ended up going back to hospital twice, and by the second time, I stayed there basically for a week, waiting, and then had 2 litres of fluid drained off me. So I had really big troubles with fluid retention. Once the fluid was gone, I recovered really quickly. I recovered really well. But that taught me, anyone who knows me, I'm not very patient. So I was sort of ready to be up and back at work sort of within a month. But the fluid retention thing was a bit of a roller coaster, and my recovery was really low. was not as straightforward. And because of COVID, no one wanted to or should have visited me. So I was really, really lonely, and it was horrible. Stuck, me, the extrovert, used to being around people all day, stuck at home for day after day after day after day, not feeling well, with no one visiting. That was hard. And I couldn't even go for a walk. The ultimate was when it was hard to get people to help me with appointments. Sometimes they did. The ultimate was when I had to get an Uber less than 1 kilometre into Cabramatta to go to a doctor's appointment. It was like, seriously. Anyway, the loss of my independence was really hard, and it was a real test of patience. But things are good now. A few weeks ago, I was meant to go off most of the heart medication, and it was reduced down to a quarter of metoprolol, but then for the nursing people. I had a couple of incidents, including at camp, of a racing heart. So the doctor said, go back and have that. And I've had, is it about 6 weeks now? Probably about 6 weeks. Went to a specialist. Again, favour, bulk build, nothing out of pocket. This week have had a Holter, Thursday had a Holter monitor on for a day, and Friday had a stress test. The doctor doesn't think there's anything wrong. He just wanted to check. So a new normal is what the cardiologist goes. It's not returning to normal. It's a normal that I've never had, you know. So now it's up to losing weight and getting a little bit fit. But God is good and faithful in the storms, even when it's hard, even when you go, God, I'm lonely, let me send me someone to visit. God, I want to be back at work like yesterday or whatever. But God, yeah, he's faithful and he comes through, and I just wanted to let you all know that.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I'm just going to pause and pray, and then maybe one or two more sharing. So, testimony. God meets us at the right time with the right connection. It's Kairos time. God will supply all our needs according to his riches, which is always more than enough. But it's interesting that Melanie highlight faith. If you just think about it, write it down, and no action, that's not really faith. So faith needs a bit of action. Then you got this miracle working God who provides for everything. And if you know Ruth's life, she has spent her life mainly serving God. So not much sort of like super or retirement plan. And God met her where she's at and really provide for her, keep her healthy. Da-da-da-da. That's God. So, Father, we thank you that you are such a faithful God, a God that walks with us in the storm, carries us in the storm. I thank you for that, Chris. Just a moment of encouragement meeting his brother Richard when he's like wondering what's next. So, Father, give us eyes for the right Kairos time, the right connection. And help us not to be stingy, Lord. You are generous. Because you are generous, you want your children to be generous. And when we are generous, don't know why, but you're generous more to us. You're already generous and gracious. So help us not to be, I don't know, self-centered, self-absorbed, but look to others and look to you in Jesus' name. Oh, I see that hand. We have to call Eddie all from where? Balaclava? Who?
Nice work. Yeah, well, this is just a bit of a short story, but a long story at the same time. It's a long journey summarized in a short story, so I'll try to keep it quick. There was someone I've known for a very long time now, a mate of mine. We got to be quite close through high school. And he'd always had quite a lot of challenges in his family and his home life. So I always lived with his grandparents, didn't see much of his parents. So a lot of kind of and that was very apparent in the way you interacted with him. And since high school, so I knew him all through high school, and then after high school, it was always very difficult to remain open in communication with him through all sorts of things, but it was difficult to get through to him. But despite this challenge, I always kind of felt a conviction from God to support him and journey with him in prayer as if it was kind of my assignment to do so. Sometimes people would come in and out of my life just in friendships, but I always felt that I had to stick around with him and not give up, even when it felt really difficult to keep in contact. And there were a couple moments where this support was really necessary for him. So there were times where he would reach out to me and I'd be there as someone who represented Jesus. And that was really powerful. And so there were times where I was able to share my faith and pray with him, not in the same room, but pray for him. But also, like, I had times where I was sharing visions with him and things that really connected with him. However, it never seemed to really eventuate too much in terms of his personal faith journey, which sometimes was quite discouraging for me because all I wanted was for him to come home, you know, to be with Jesus and with his creator. But I keep praying and I keep being available if he needs anyone to reach out. So to fast forward to 2 weeks ago when I was back here at church, I was sitting and listening to the message and I felt a prompting to go and call him. And I was expecting nothing, as he rarely would answer. But this time he picked up immediately. And I knew how hard it was to get a hold of him, so I immediately said, Tuesday, 10 a.m., your place, I'm coming to meet you. And so he was very happy about that. And so we planned for a time to meet for coffee and just chat about things. So I drove over and we began chatting about just the surface level, general things. I was really hoping it wouldn't be another conversation that just stayed there. Where are we up to? So we talked about the general things. And at this point, I don't think I'd seen him in over a year. So there was a lot to catch up about. But eventually we got to the real stuff and he shared some really exciting things that I wanted to share with you because it was such a relief after about 5 years of praying for him. That in the last few months, he has now attended a church. He has participated in midweek fellowship groups. He's reading his Bible and doing devotions and has basically had his life turned around. And he's been off alcohol and a bunch of other things that were causing real destruction in his life. One of the most amazing parts was that he was articulating to me that it was by the grace of God that all these things have happened. And knowing him for so long and knowing what he's thought about Christianity and me as a Christian and all that sort of stuff, hearing that was just incredible. And I'm not really sure, I definitely don't think this is the end of the story with him. It's really a beginning of things. And I don't know if it's the end of my involvement either. But there's just two things I'd love to encourage you in. The first is to persist in prayer. So I'd prayed for him for well over 5 years until I saw a real breakthrough. And I believe through that time that God took him through a real journey that had me contributing in prayer and in other ways. And you can really never know the impact of your prayer in people's lives. And I think through prolonged prayer for him, there would be moments where that really had an impact that I couldn't even see. Persist in prayer. And the second one is to just really trust in God's timing. Because I'd wanted breakthrough for a very long time. If it was my timing, I would have said, can he please turn to Jesus tomorrow? But God had taken him through a process throughout those years of softening his heart and using me as an example of what faith can do in someone's life. If you're supporting someone in prayer, don't give up. It sounds really cheesy, but really trusting in God's timing, that God's thoughts and his ways are higher than ours, and he can see everything that we can't see. So we should really, give that trust to him.
It's time for 4:05. All right. Okay, Rodney, one more, last one. It's 4:05. 4:05, 4:06. All right, Lucy, just because of you.
All right. Just a quick one. Annie and I went to Perth recently. We drove over there and I'd spent 6 months doing the van up. And everything was going really well, great. And when we were about to leave Perth, I went out to load the stuff in the little fridge that we've got. And it was just showing that the battery was flat. Not the car battery, but the auxiliary battery. And it had been just perfect. Before we left, I went to a company and had it wired up professionally because I thought, I don't want to take any chances. I thought I could do it myself, but I thought, nah, I'll pay for it and get it done right. Anyway, I thought, well, what's going on here? This is a nuisance. I've got to drive another 5 days home. And I thought, well, we've got to go now. So I just put the stuff in and drove off. And about an hour or two later, we stopped just to get some lunch. And I had a look, and it was still nothing there. It hadn't charged up. And I thought, well, what's going on? And as another bloke pulled in alongside of me, he had a four-wheel drive with a whole lot of stuff piled in the back, you know, so it was obviously a camper. And I just had this little thought, why don't you ask him, you know, if he can help? And he thought, oh, you know, you argue with yourself and you sort of think, ah, oh, that's a bit ridiculous. And I just thought, no, just go and do it, you know. So I walked over and said, excuse me, you wouldn't by any chance know anything about car electronics, would you? And he said, oh, a bit. He said, what's the problem? I told him. He said, just a minute, we'll have a look. So he went to the back and he pulled out this rolled up sort of toolkit. He laid it out on the ground like this and got out some implements, a voltmeter and all that sort of stuff. And he, anyway, it turned out that he happened to be the electrician that looked after all the hospitals in the wheat belt in Western Australia. So he'd retired, but I said, boy, you come well prepared. And he said, well, when we go camping, we go way out bush by ourselves. So he said, I've got to be prepared because there's no one to help me. And he said, did they give you a circuit diagram? And I said, no. He said, well, they should have, you know. And, well, do you know where it's going? I said, well, sort of, you know. And he was looking and under the bonnet, he looked and saw this, he said, this might be a fuse. And when he went to open it, he said, oh, for goodness sake, this is crazy to put it in upside down. So instead of being able to look like that and have a look, you had to sort of get up and trying to stick your ear in the engine and look up underneath it. He said, I'll fix that for you in a minute later on, put it the right way up. And he looked for 2 hours going through everything. You know, it's just so good. And at one stage we were looking at something and he said, I don't know what's going on. And I sort of said, oh, well, I've been praying for it. And he said, yeah, so have I. And I thought, oh, beauty. You know, so that was nice, you know. God does this. He's got such a sense of humour. It's really nice. And in the end, he said, look, I'm sorry, mate, I can't see any more. He said, but let me fix that fuse for you before you go anyway. So he turned the fuse up the right way, and I went on my way. And that night, after, well, whenever it was, I checked it next. It was working. So possibly it was something to do with that fuse. The connection wasn't right, but and it's been working good ever since. But that's cute, really, isn't it?
I was going to ask whether he's an angel. Lucy. All right. Okay. Another time.
I have no idea if this is actually worth sharing, but I'm going to share it anyway. So this year, this year there's been this kid who's absolutely awful, and anyway. There was one particular... yeah, that kid said. anyway, he's just, there was one particular week he was just being as mean as he could to me, and I was honestly ready to throw hands, and I've been ready to throw hands at this kid for a very long time, but I haven't. I've got enough self-control, I promise. I was just, I was so over this kid, so I turned on my worship playlist and God basically just brought me into tears in the classroom. And, yeah, that I just calmed enough down that I could turn around to this kid and I didn't say anything, and I've been all right ever since. So it's just a bit of a reminder that it doesn't matter what you're going through, God's standing there in the middle and he'll sit next to you and he'll just help you out.
Is this kid same age as you? Okay. All right. Let's worship. I think, again, testimony is, it says, just being reminded by each one that our journey so unique, but yet so special. And we share that special moment. I believe God is glorified, but others are encouraged. So gather together from your time to time and we'll worship and encourage each other.